Please stand as you're able as we sing our opening hymn, The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. So loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Today is the second Sunday in Lent and a prayer for the day. God of mercy, you are full of tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in mercy, and always ready to forgive. Grant us grace to renounce all evil and to cling to Christ, that in every way we may prove to be your loving children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your words so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have our first reading from the book Genesis.
Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn. This is one of those new words to a familiar tune that we introduce now and again.
Thank you.
reading from the Gospel of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, today is the second Sunday in Lent, and Lent is supposed to be a journey traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem, to Holy Week and Easter. As I commented earlier this week in my email, the lectionary writers are actually taking us on two parallel stories, two parallel journeys. One is through key people in the story of the Old Testament, and the other is through people that Jesus met during his ministry. And all the while, though we didn't read it at this service, we are given theological readings from St. Paul's letter to the Romans to get our teeth into as well. So today, what we have heard is the call of Abraham, who was later to become Abraham as our first Fred, and Nicodemus's nighttime visit to Jesus as the second. Last week, we started the journey through the Old Testament stories at the very beginning of the book Genesis, to those stories that gave an explanation of why human sin, or as the commentator I quoted last week say, how humans always seem to mess things up. And in the chapters that follow those readings from Genesis 2 and 3, there are more stories that the compiler of a book has put in that continue the same theme. There is Cain murdering Abel. There's the Tower of Babel. There's the sin of a generation of Noah. And even Noah himself, who at the end of the story, after the bit where we stop reading in Sunday school, Noah ends up as a naked, drunken fool. The picture painted is one where humans are rebellious, trying to be self-sufficient, and is not a happy story. But then in chapter 12, where we read this morning, we're introduced to Abram and the beginning of a better story. It is the start of the story of how God works to do something about that problem of sin. It's been said that the verses that we heard earlier are the foundation of all the stories in the Bible from that point right through to the end of Revelation 22. What happens here is Abraham has a call. Abraham is called by God, and it's not an easy call. To paraphrase, he's told, go, leave your country, your people, your father's household, everything that you know. Go to a place where I will show you. Go. It sounds crazy, but go, because in order to achieve something that is so big, only God can accomplish it. You need to go. And in here, the verses we heard, and in the verses that follow, God adds to this command to go a promise. And it's a promise that has three parts. He tells Abraham that he will be made a great nation. He will have a land. He will make his descendants a people. They'll have an identity. And then most importantly, he promises that he will be their God, and they will be his people. And this is the basis of a covenant between God and God's people that plays out through the rest of Scripture. And Abram accepts. He goes, just as the Lord told him, we read in verse 4. And it's this basis, this covenant between God and Abraham, this calling, that means that for Jews, Abraham is the founding father. They regard themselves as descendants of Abraham, that their God is the God of Abraham. And remember the Sunday school song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons said, yes, do we remember that one? Maybe not. A few nods. We're not going to sing it. But there is more. There is more to the reading of that passage than just that. In Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul is making an argument that all believers, both Jews and Gentiles, are part of the people of God. So Abraham is more than just the founding father of the Jewish nation. Abraham is the spiritual ancestor of all believers. And there's two important messages we see here. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, part of what we heard, God says to Abram, I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the picture I was doing with the water and the children. The blessing of God is so much. It's not just for a small group of people, but through them for the whole world. The descendants of Abraham would be the source, but the blessings would flow to all nations. And of course, when we come to the gospel writers are at pains to tell us that Jesus was indeed of the lineage of Abraham. And it is through Jesus that the blessings will come to all peoples. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 37-38, Jesus gives a wonderful picture of how these blessings happens. He says, given it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. The measure you give will be the measure you give back. As we receive blessings from Jesus, we are called to give, to share those blessings, to overflow those blessings to those around us. We should be so infused by the Spirit that it bubbles out into those we meet. The second message then is that the promises to Abram were given long before the rules and the regulations of Moses. We come to Moses next week. The relationship between Abram and God is not dependent upon obeying the Ten Commandments or the 600 extra rules that we find in the book of Leviticus. So St. Paul can say in Romans 4 and chapter 3, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And later in that chapter, for the promise that the world would inherit the world, that he would inherit the world, did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And this is the essence of Paul's great thesis, that our relationship with God is a gift of God's grace alone. It depends on faith, not on works, not in adherence to a list of regulations. So at the start, that we have two journeys going on here, one through the Old Testament, telling the development of the story of God, reconciling creation to God's self, a better story, the counterpoint to Genesis 2 and 3. And the second story is through the people that Jesus meets. But actually, this second story is always part of that first story as well. So as Jesus encounters Nicodemus, we see a glimpse more of this great story. And we have a similar motif to what Paul was concerned about in Romans. Nicodemus was a member of a group of Jews known as the Pharisees. They believed that to be a part of God's kingdom, strict adherence to the 600 plus laws of the Torah were essential. He was intrigued by what Jesus had started saying and doing, and so he came to debate with Jesus. The description of a nighttime meeting, once some scholars took that as that this is just a normal time, a time when people had theological discussions and study. So he's coming to debate with Jesus. What is going on? And Jesus is forthright. He says in verse 5, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." Jesus is saying that to be part of a kingdom of God, part of a story, to be a spiritual descendant of Abraham is more than obeying rules. It is an action of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, there is a response is required as well. Just as Abram acted on God's message in our Genesis reading. We all like to quote from a passage of a verse at the end of the Gospel. I've already read it three times this morning already. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." But we need to read that in the context of the rest of the story, and here in the rest of the dialogue with Nicodemus. There is more to that statement. For some, faith or believing in Jesus is simply something one does with one's mind. But here, Jesus is clearly saying that being born from above, to believe to be a spiritual descendant of Abraham, is not so much about what one does with one's mind, about what one does with one's heart and one's life. Had we read on in the Gospel, we would have got to verse 21, where Jesus says, "Those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." So in John's Gospel, believing and doing are inseparable. And this indeed is what Paul says as well. In Romans 4:16, Paul says, "It depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all." And the faith of Abraham, as we heard in Genesis chapter 12, is Abraham went as the Lord told him. We are the people of God. We are reconciled to God by God's grace. So where is God calling us to go? Amen. Please stand as you are able and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe
the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life
everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the world and for the Church.
Okay, the end of the prayer today will be, Lord, in your mercy, and you'll say, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those suffering through natural disaster and war. May God bring safety, relief, and restoration. We pray for the people of the Middle East and Iran, and we pray that they may come through it to a just peace. We continue to pray for those affected by the ongoing floods around the country. Bring protection to those in danger, comfort to those who have lost their lives or livelihood, and strength to emergency workers and communities as they rebuild and recover. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Let us pray for the Church throughout the world. May the Spirit strengthen us in unity, faith, and peace. We pray for the Nippon Seiko Kai. We pray for the ongoing work of peacemaking in Sudan and South Sudan. We pray for the Anglican Church of Australia, for the Primate Mark Short, for the General Secretary Anne Highwood, for the General Synod and the Standing Committee. We pray for the parish of Sandgate North Point, for Anne Shepherdson Locum, George Henry and Jonathan Osborne. We pray for the Diocesan Reconciliation Action Plan, Coordinator Sandra King. We pray for the Anglican Schools Office, Church House, for Acting Executive Director George Newton, and for the Executive Director and staff. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Let us pray for those who proclaim Christ in schools and communities. May their witness bear lasting fruit. We pray for our missionary partner, Danny Middledorp, SU chaplain at Wellers Hill State School. Sustain and encourage Danny in this ministry among students, family and staff. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Let us pray for the children and young people of our community. May they grow in wisdom, courage and grace. We pray for Wellers Hill Primary, Junction Park Primary and Maruka Primary. Bless students, teachers and families, and guide them in learning and service. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Let us pray for our parish family. May God guide and equip us for your faithful service. We pray for the newly elected parish council and for discernment as we seek people to serve as wardens. Grant wisdom, unity, and a spirit of generosity in all decisions and ministries. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. May Christ the healer bring strength and peace. We pray for those who are sick, frail, or emotionally stressed. We pray especially for Sandy Tonello, Brian, Sharon L., Reverend Shane, Mary Pickardyke, David F., Peter G., Lauren, Rita, Honor, Don, Margaret, and Peter F. Grant them healing, comfort, and hope. And Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Let us remember before God those who have died in the faith of Christ. May we share with them in the hope of the resurrection. From the Parish Book of Remembrance, remember Samuel Smith, Daphne Muriel Sacra, Jack Williams, and Cyril Thomas Stafford. Rest eternal grant to them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today
Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled and wandered far off. Let us then ask for mercy, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Would you please stand? Be glad, you righteous. Rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all that are true of heart. And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Seven people on Zoom, peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, Jesus Christ is Waiting. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You give it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross, Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of you, of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You have gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in the remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. God of mercy, may we who have shared in this holy meal know your forgiveness in our lives, bring your reconciliation to others, and be a sign of your wholeness in this broken world. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Please, will you stand as we sing our missional hymn, One More Step Along the World I Go.
Thank you.
good and gracious God deliver you from all that is evil, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.